Amen. Let's take our Bibles together this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 16, if you would with me. I think most of us are probably on the internet here this morning in some way or another. Maybe not right now, although you may be. You may be looking up Bible verses on your app. But most of us have an email account. We search for things online. Some of us shop Amazon.com or whatever else, maybe eBay. You know, there's not really much that happens in society today without the internet. I mean, most businesses can't operate without the internet. Even car mechanics, by the way, they've got computers. They've got to download the latest information about your car so that they can actually work on your car. Did you know the internet actually began back in the 1960s or the 1970s? Wasn't public yet, but they were connecting these big mainframe computers, which were about as big as your garage, and they didn't have near as much storage on them as these cell phones do today. It's pretty amazing what we've done with technology in about the last 25 years. You know, the World Wide Web was actually started about 1995, and there were just a few thousand users on the internet back then. You know, now there are over 4 billion people on the internet. I mean, who had that vision? Isn't that amazing to me? Just the vision that someone had. And of course, companies are spending billions of dollars every year to help us get connected. You know, they're sending up satellites or they're laying miles of fiber optic cables, although even telecommunications is not by wire anymore. I think 97% of telecommunications happens via the airwaves or the internet. It's really pretty amazing. Well, this morning, I want to talk about a different kind of connection. I want to talk about being connected relationally, and I want to talk about being connected spiritually here in the body of Christ. Yesterday, we had a wedding here at a church out in the amphitheater. It was such a beautiful day. About a month ago, when Ben and Taylor Absher got married, and when Taylor was talking about her wedding, she said, "I want to be out in the amphitheater." How many remember how smoky it was a month ago? I said, "That may not work very well." And about 2 weeks ago, we met for the last time before the wedding, and she said, "I want to be out in the amphitheater." And it was so smoky, you could hardly go outside. And she just believed that God was going to help allow her wedding to be outside. And all I can say is, if you need prayer, talk to Taylor. Because, man, it was beautiful outside on Saturday. Blue sky, it was about 75 degrees during the wedding. Very, very light wind. Just beautiful. One of the verses that I read, which, you know, is often read at weddings, it says in Genesis 2, verse 18, "It's not good for man to be alone." And of course, in that context, it's talking about marriage. But did you know that God made us for relationships with one another? I mean, more than we realize, we need each other. Edward Hollowell wrote a book simply called Connect. And here's what he says. He says, "We are a nation of doers. We hurry from place to place, filling our lives with all kinds of activities, sometimes over-scheduling ourselves and our kids, by the way. But what really sustains us emotionally, psychologically, and physically is connectedness, the feeling that we are part of something that matters, something larger than ourselves. Just as there's a vitamin deficiency, there's a human contact deficiency, and it weakens the body, the mind, and the spirit." You know what's interesting? Even though we're all connected by the internet, did you know that sociologically we're less connected than we ever have been before? Did you know that? And the reason why is because we're finding everything we need on the internet. We don't need anyone anymore. In fact, if you have a problem fixing your plumbing, you don't call a plumber, you go on YouTube. And it tells you how to fix it. Now, by the way, that costs, that saves a little money. And some of us want to learn how to do things. I think going on the internet for answers is awesome. But you know what psychologists are telling us is that it's making us less connected as a society than we ever have been before. Now, how many of you are on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or, I don't know, Snapchat? How many are there out there? I don't know. Bunch of social media platforms. And by the way, I kind of love getting pictures from my son and his wife. They live in England. On Facebook. It's just nice to see his face every now and then, you know, if you just call me. But anyway, I'll work through that here as I'm talking. Pictures of my grandkids, I love that. I don't have anything wrong with social media, but can I tell you something? You could have the best Facebook page on the internet, but that doesn't mean you're really connected. I mean, people see you, but that doesn't really mean you're connected in relationship with people. Your image, I mean, you can be the hottest girl on Instagram. I mean, you can have all the photos and all the poses, and you can be all this and all that. But that doesn't mean you have good social skills and relationship skills. Now, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying it gives the appearance of being connected. I mean, how many friends do you have? Well, 500. Well, really? I mean, again, I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that we live in a culture that is moving toward isolation. And can I tell you, it affects the church, just the way we think about the church. And literally, the way we think about needing one another. And that affects us, our marriages. It affects our families. It affects our kids growing up in a culture where, you know, there's more time, FaceTime on a screen than there is eyeball to eyeball, talking about feelings and working through things. It's just something that we've got to think through. Now, Jesus knew the importance of relationship. In fact, the first thing that he did when he began his ministry is he picked 12 disciples. And it says in Mark chapter 3, verse 13, the reason why he picked them is so that they could be with him. Don't you love that phrase? To be with him. That's why he picked them. Now, we think about the fact that he mentored them and that he trained them to carry on his ministry after his left. And that's true, but Jesus benefited from his relationship with them as well. Jesus was fully God and fully man. And because of that, he enjoyed their friendship. He enjoyed their companionship, the laughter that they shared. He enjoyed some of the stories that they told around the campfire along the Sea of Galilee. In fact, I think some of his teachings sometimes came out of conversations they had walking along the road from the region of Galilee up toward Jerusalem. I think there's more practical application to their friendship and relationship than sometimes we really understand. I think there were times when Jesus' love for his disciples literally motivated him, recharged him in his mission and his ministry, just like sometimes relationship with your friends motivates you and recharges you in your ministry and your relationship with them. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 20, let me read it to you. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. How many of you have read those verses before? These are kind of foundational verses if you're going to think about this idea or this concept of the church. In verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church, Did you know the Greek word for church here is the word ekklesia? And it literally means to be called out or to be summoned. Did you know if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're part of a miracle? You sense the voice of the Holy Spirit calling you out. In fact, there were probably some things in your life that you didn't want to give up. There were probably some things in your life that you realized that you needed to turn your back on. And even though your friends said, you are crazy, you sense Jesus calling you. I mean, just like God revealed himself to Moses, remember, with the burning bush, in the same way, your heavenly Father has revealed himself to you through faith in Jesus Christ. And whether it happened through a friend, whether it happened here in the life of the church as we were studying God's word together, worshiping together, you sensed his call and you responded to the person of Jesus. It says in verse 17, Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, or actually, this was not revealed to you by man. See, Christianity is not about education. It's about revelation. You know, if you're here today with a friend and they've been talking to you about Jesus and, you know, this whole thing seems weird to you. I mean, what's with the bread and what's with the cup? I mean, I understand. But you need to know that Christianity is not about education. It's not about a class. Christianity is about a revelation. How many know that Jesus is real? God raised him from the dead, literally, and you believe in someone you can't see. Talk about weird. But the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to guard that which I've entrusted to him against that day. There's truly something supernatural happening in your life. Now, part of what we miss about this word ekklesia is it's actually two words together, okay? It's ekla, and then it's sia. The S-I-A is actually a second word. The word ekklesia literally means called out. Sia means together. In other words, God has called us out together. He didn't just call you to himself. He called you to his body. He called you to his family. He called you together in the church. We are actually a congregation or an assembly of people that have been called together. And we have tremendous privilege and responsibility. Look at verse 19. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. How many have a set of keys? You know, this key gives me the privilege to access my 2002 Toyota pickup that has 190,000 miles. I don't know if that seems like a privilege to you. But can you imagine the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. See, I don't think we realize what it really means to be the church. There's something about us coming together. We didn't come because we wanted to hear the preacher. We were called out. It says in Colossians chapter 1, we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You came here because you were called. Jesus calls you. And there's something about our gathering together. There's something of authority and power. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind, Jesus in your name. We did it in that one song when we sang, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is higher, it's more powerful. And you know, all of a sudden there's anxiety or doubt, there's confusion that begins to rush in, and you ask a friend, will you pray with me? Jesus, Lord, in your strong name, I just come against that sense of fear, that feeling of attack. And it's amazing how the power of Jesus' name, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, we really do have more value. We have more significance than I think sometimes we give ourselves credit. God has called us together for a purpose. And, you know, sometimes just the whole idea of getting together to be at church, I mean, you work all week, your kids have soccer on Saturday, Sunday morning, it's like, oh, Has anyone ever thought, I can't make it besides me? I paid to get here, you know? God is at work in the world. And he is working through his church. He's working through our praise. He's working through our prayers. He's working through our proclamation of the gospel. He's working in the life of his church. If you want to see where God is working in the world, see where his church is serving, where the church is sharing in the world today. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, another verse that I think is great to think about. The Apostle Paul, talking to the church in Philippi, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, our Lord. How many have ever claimed that scripture, by the way? I'm confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it till the day of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Love that verse, by the way. He's the one who began this work in me. He called me out. Amen? And he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. What's interesting, that word you is plural. It's not singular. Doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us singularly, but he's really talking to the church. He who began a good work in you and all of us. You know, there's a dimension of God's working in us that isn't there just with you. I don't want to confuse you with this, but it's really true. When Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am there. And there's a dimension of his presence when we gather, whether it's a small life group or Bible study, it's a friend that you're praying with, or for us together here in the life of the church. And that's so important for us to understand, because sometimes people disconnect from the church. Sometimes they disassociate from the church. And you know, that promise, he'll begin a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. I just really believe that when you disconnect or disassociate or going through a time of difficulty, you just pull back. I think sometimes you're just missing out on what God could really do through your life. You see, he's at work in us together. We are his church. We are his bride. That's such a powerful picture. Here's another verse. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. It says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that mightily works within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And could we all say amen? Now, we looked at this verse last week. We talked a little bit about vision. And one of the things we said is that I hope our vision is just greater than what God can do for us. I hope our vision includes what God could do through us. Because at some point in our life, you know, we come to Jesus looking for what he can do for us. But at some point in our life, we got to begin to think about what he wants to do through our life. And last week we read this verse, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that mightily works within us. You know, the word us is plural. In fact, it's literally the same Greek word as you in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. See, according to his power that mightily works within us. There's the dimension of his power when we come together. Okay, God works in us personally. There's no question of that. But his work is magnified through us corporately when we come together in the power of the Holy Spirit, when we meet together, when we pray together. And that's why when we talk about this series we're going to start in October about going all in, we're going to talk about going all in regard to our relationship with Jesus. We're also going to talk about going all in regard to our relationship with the church. Because I honestly believe, because of the fractioning that's happening in culture, the disconnect, so to speak, that's happening, I really believe the body of Christ suffers. I really believe what God wants to do through the power of the Spirit, it's held back sometimes for seasons. How many know that God works in revival through waves? There are waves of working. There are waves of revival. God begins to work in a wave. There's a mighty move of the Spirit. People from all generations are drawn together in the power of the Spirit. But it's amazing how a wave reaches a peak and then it begins to fall off. And I think sometimes, you know, the enemy and his strategy is just literally working against people to forget how significant they are as the body of Christ. We get fractured. We get splinters. How many know that every new revival starts with a new denomination? Now, I'm not trying to be critical about denominations because I am part of one. But it's amazing many times that God has to start something totally new through new people because we get comfortable right where we're at. How many could say amen to that? We do. We get comfortable. You know, it's I owe. So off to work I go. And then, you know, my kids, they're busy. And then, you know, just trying to make it to church. And then we get there late. Has anyone ever, that's happened to you, you got to church late? I'm not trying to make you nervous here, okay? I'm not taking names, okay? You know, my wife and I, we used to come in two cars when we had kids because I got to be here, okay? I had to be here on time, you know? My wife, two young children, and just getting out the door, sometimes it's amazing. But you know what happens? You know, people that visit church, you know what happens is they're here first, every time. I mean, they're here, but you aren't. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but when the service starts, there's no one here, and then halfway through, have you ever noticed how it kind of fills up in here? Jesus said, they will know we are Christians by our love for one and for another. The problem is that people who are visiting don't know your love because you're not here. I don't want that to sound wrong. It's just, it's kind of like, do we know what God wants to do in our lives and through our life? How many believe God wants to touch the world through us? He really wants to touch the world through us. I hope you come prayed up. I hope you come expecting. I hope you walk into the building looking for people you haven't met before. Someone say amen. I mean, I really do, because I really believe we are the church. We're the body of Christ. We're called out people, summoned people into the presence of God together. The Bible says that we're a holy temple, that God himself dwells in us as we gather together. That's amazing to me, but it's so easy to forget that just in the daily routine of life. And yet, my prayer each week when we gather, just the power of the Holy Spirit would come, and people whose lives have never been touched before, all of a sudden, their eyes are opened, and they know that Jesus is real. Could we all say amen to that? That's why we come. That's why we come. Well, there are four metaphors in the Bible. I really don't have a lot of time to try to talk about them, but one of the metaphors that describes our connection is that we're the body of Christ. And you hear me talk about that a little bit. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 5, it says, just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We're all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. You've heard me talk about this a little bit. I'll say that we are his hands extended, touching people throughout the community during the week. We're his feet. Everywhere we go, he goes. Do you understand that believers literally are the body of Christ? I mean, we really are. I mean, where God is at working in the world today, he's working through his church because we're the manifestation of the spiritual reality of the person of Jesus Christ. And this verse says we are all parts of it and that it takes every one of us to make it complete. For each of us have different work to do, so we belong to each other and each of us needs all the others. Did you know I need you? Why don't you say that with me? I need you. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, I need you. Isn't that what it says here? Each of us needs all the others. I need you. You need me. Can we say that together? You need me. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him that? I know you need me, man. We need each other because life is a journey and we need people to walk with us. We need each other because life is dangerous. I mean, there's temptations. We need each other because it's a lot safer to walk together. We need each other because life is complicated. And the Bible says in the abundance of counsel, there's wisdom. That's why we need each other. We need each other because life is difficult and life is draining. And sometimes we need brothers and sisters to help carry our load. We simply need each other. Now, one of the amazing things to me is that the body, literally, our bodies have the ability to heal themselves. Did you know that? I mean, our blood system takes out impurities from our body. Our body, if you smoke for 20 years, you know your body will literally cleanse your lungs? It's pretty amazing. See, we're the body of Christ. And there's something about being connected together in relationship that brings cleansing in your life, brings healing in your emotions. We're the body of Christ. We need one another. We're connected together. Such a beautiful picture to see how each one of us is unique, each one of us is individual, and yet we truly do need one another. Another picture in the Bible is that we're the family of God. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, it says, respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. Let me read it again. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Now, I don't know what's happened to you since you got saved, but when I got saved, my life radically changed. I mean, I grew up in a pretty good family. You know, by world standards, we were about as normal as normal. But when I got saved, all of a sudden, these people started hugging me and loving me. Did that happen to you? See, my family never hugged each other. It just didn't happen in our family. I'll never forget when I told my mom I loved her. I'm about 21 years old, and I said, I love you, Mom. She went, yep. Not being critical of my mom, we just hadn't said, I love you in my family ever throughout my whole lifetime. And when I got saved, all of a sudden, I had a family that knew how to express love. I had a family that knew how to care. I got hugged. I mean, you know, maybe I just needed hugs, you know, or I don't know, but my family never hugged. And all of a sudden, I had a sense of purpose that was going the same direction with the family that I was part of. And I had the ability to communicate. It's like they knew me. They knew where I was going, and I was able to open up and talk and be transparent and be real. And in this new family, I felt more connection and more fellowship than I had with my biological family. Now, that has changed a lot because, you know, their son's a preacher. And I talk to my family all the time, and my mom committed her life to Christ, and I'm still working on my dad, but he's really, really close. And my brothers, and, you know, I mean, it's changed a lot. We express love and all those kind of things, but I tell you, my life changed when I felt love in a family. One of the things that God wants to do is reparent us. One of the things you learn in a family, You learn a lot of things that are necessary for emotional development, problem-solving skills, just how to love and support one another. Having a family is really important. One of the things we do when we connect together in the family of God is we just grow emotionally. We grow spiritually. We grow in wisdom and knowledge. That's why it's so important to be called out together as the body of Christ here in a church family. A third thing is the Bible says we're like sheep in a flock. It says in Psalms 100, verse 3, God made us, we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, I should have someone else talk about this because I'm kind of a city boy, don't know a lot about sheep. But one thing I do know about sheep is they can't make it on their own. I mean, you leave a sheep by itself, it's going to get lost. They can't feed themselves. They're very vulnerable to predators. And that's why the Bible gives us this picture of sheep in a flock. Because we need a shepherd. We really do need a shepherd. We need the safety of a flock. And one of the metaphors in the Bible for the body of Christ being called out together is this picture of safety in a flock with a shepherd. And of course, we know Jesus is the good shepherd. And in the life of our church, there are other shepherds. There are other pastors. And there are also a lot of shepherds who lead life groups. Some of our small group Bible studies. They are great people, great leaders. And as we move into this series here in a few weeks, we talk about going all in. I want to encourage you that one of the things that God wants to do is just fit you in the flock. He wants to connect you with the body of Christ. He wants to help protect you. He wants to feed you and just provide a shepherd for you, whether it's one of our life group leaders or just maybe some people you know. So I really believe that this picture of being connected as a sheep in a flock is another picture that God wants to use in our life to move us together in the direction of being connected. And the last one I'll mention is that we're living stones being built together into a dwelling place for God and the Spirit. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Now, that sounds a little vague, I guess, a little mysterious, and probably the best way that I can try to process that is to think about back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon built the temple. And when Solomon built the temple, he dedicated it to God. And the day he dedicated it to God says that fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. And then the visible glory of God filled the room, the Shekinah glory of God. And it says, because of God's presence, the people couldn't stand who were worshiping. Now, I don't know what that would be like, but I've always wondered what it would be like to watch the fire of God right here. Wouldn't that be amazing? How about the visible, the Shekinah glory? The Bible kind of describes it as a shimmering silver. And if you've ever felt God's presence in your life, one of the things you recognize is just the holiness of God. God is holy. It doesn't put us off. It draws us to a whole new place in life. God is holy, and when you sense his presence, you know it's him because he's other. That's what the word holy means. This is not me. That is the Lord. But to just be drawn into his presence like that. You know, we think about that in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the Bible says we have a greater glory than that because his presence dwells in this temple. And his presence dwells in this temple. We're like living stones being built together, becoming literally a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Paul prayed for us that we'd be strengthened with power in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And you see, God literally wants to dwell with his people. He wants to dwell with us throughout the week. He wants to dwell with us in a whole new dynamic as we come together. You know, I just don't know if we really understand all that that means. I think if we really caught that, we'd come to church with a sense of expectancy in regard to what God could do. How many do believe he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that mightily works within us? There's just something that I think sometimes we miss because the enemy has a tendency to war against us and diminish us and make us feel like, well, you know, we're not worthy, and there's just no way that God could do miracles through our life. See, I really believe he wants to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come on out here this morning. And we're going to close with a song, simply sing, "Oh, Praise the Name." But I'm just wondering if the Holy Spirit is maybe igniting your vision for the church a little bit. Maybe something of the daily routine has caused some calluses to begin to form over your eyes. And maybe the Holy Spirit would just cut those things away today. Help you see the value of the church, the value of being connected. And, you know, I know it's a process, getting to know people. I mean, people are like food. You like some, you don't like others, you know? I mean, it's just really, really true. And this whole process of a life group, it's a little risky. Joining a life group, meeting someone new, or maybe a group of people are new, or, you know, just trying to connect with new people in the life of the church. I want to encourage you with this. At least 50% of the people in our church are new in the last 3 years. Literally, 50% of the people are new. So if you're relatively new, just look around and go, hey, I'm new and so are you. It's okay. And getting connected together, it's just great to start some new groups, to meet some new people. And you're not assigned to this group for the rest of your life, by the way. 6 weeks. We're just going to go through a series for 6 weeks. And for 6 weeks, we'll probably have some groups here in the building on Wednesday nights. And maybe you'll want to come to one of those. Maybe you'll want to check into one that's already planning to get started. Maybe you'll want to start your own group because we'll have all the material available online. We just want to invite you to take a step of faith and get involved and get connected in the family. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand. And I'm just going to invite you to respond to the Holy Spirit here this morning as we sing this chorus together.
Oh, praise the Lord.